The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Tyra Banks for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Essence. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. Home Harmony. With expert guidance, uncover practices and products that will help create a more balanced and tranquil space. By Dominique Fluker. It's difficult to be productive or find peace in a cluttered, disorganized home. Our living spaces have a powerful impact on our mental well-being, which means chaotic environments can deplete our energy, strain our physical health, and heighten our stress levels. As many of us begin contemplating our new year, new me goals, it's important to include our homes in that vision. Instead of waiting until next year to spring clean, there's no time like the present to redesign our spaces for optimized functionality. The joy will naturally follow. Clutter and chaos can be draining to our system, says Toronto-based psychotherapist Megan Watson of Bloom Psychology and Wellness. After long days of working, caregiving, spending our social energy, or simply navigating the current world climate, burnout, decision fatigue, and mental exhaustion are often inevitable. Processing our stressors when we get home is not made easier when our surroundings are visually disorganized. The goal is to create a home environment within your capacity and resources that offers small but meaningful opportunities to nourish yourself and give your nervous system a place to settle. Watson suggests establishing a system of tidying up that works for you. From there, you can arrange a home that is clean, aligns with your values and needs, and allows you to be at peace. Just as we might prioritize big tasks in a big project, to avoid overwhelm and to build momentum, we can approach our home in the same way, focusing on the most critical aspects for functional and relaxed living, she says. That might mean editing and letting go of the clutter you no longer connect with. Whatever is most important should be prioritized and given space. It might be something as simple as having a spot to safely light a candle, or arranging your jewelry so that getting ready in the morning feels more like you. A small moment of coming home to yourself, Watson adds. These touches turn organization from a chore into a form of care, making your home a place that actively supports your clarity and emotional well-being. Rebecca Love, a home therapist and founder of Organize for Love, based in Staten Island, New York, says, "Clutter is annoying because it often is tough to describe what it is and how to come up with a solution for it. Often you ignore it because you can't pinpoint exactly what's bothering you," she says. "You're not crazy. Clutter is simply a series of many decisions to be made. It's easier to make choices about how to clean up the mess if you reframe your thought process on how you'd like your nest to feel. Your home is sacred, so you should treat it as if it's an extension of you," Love states. "If you look around your home, it'll reveal to you where you are mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. Know it takes humility to slow down long enough to accept where that is, and courage to change it. It also means being vulnerable to turn your attention to yourself and your needs, especially the needs you're neglecting, which are reflected in your home." Rebecca Love offers thoughtful organizational tips and product recommendations to help you refresh and redesign your home for the new year with grace, intention, and compassion. Take a nap. If you need to purge but don't have the time, energy, or capacity to do so, rest. It seems like such a small thing and maybe even counterintuitive, but decluttering when you're exhausted will have you going in circles. Recharge. Recycle clothes in a different way. If you wouldn't give it to a loved one, don't donate it to a stranger. Of course, donations don't have to be in mint condition, but when it comes to ripped, stained, and damaged clothing, drop them off at a textile and recycling center instead of a donation center. Plan for purchases beforehand. Make it a habit to consider how and where something will be used before you buy it. Clutter is often created from a lack of intention, planning, and foresight. Reject survival mode. Not growing up in a calm or functional home can lead to overbuying and holding on out of fear. But chasing comfort can clash with the home you're trying to create. Clean with gratitude. If cleaning was used as punishment when you were growing up, it's natural to resist it, as refusing to clean can feel like reclaiming control. But real empowerment comes from choice. Say, "I choose to clean. I prefer to honor my home." Do it not because guests are coming or you're selling in the home, but because this is your space and your place to rest and dream. And next, we're moving to an article called Love, Loss, and New Life. This is by Brandy Victorian. As Love is Blind alum Lauren Speed Hamilton prepares for motherhood and the one-year anniversary of her father's passing, she reflects on holding space for both joy and grief during the holiday season. Last Christmas Eve, Lauren Speed Hamilton and her family were gathered in her Atlanta home watching the Netflix special, Jamie Foxx. What had happened was, her father, Bill Speed, began to get emotional. He turned to me and said, "Wow, this is making me think about my life and you guys and my legacy and what I'm leaving. I love you guys." Speed Hamilton recalls of what had been a heartwarming evening. "We went up to his bedroom when it was time for bed, and I said, 'Good night, Dad. I love you. See you tomorrow for Christmas.' When the Love is Blind star came downstairs around 8:30 the next morning and noticed that her dad, typically an early riser, hadn't woken yet, she immediately got a drop in the pit of my stomach," she says. Speed Hamilton decided to make a smoothie. She hoped the sound of the blender would rouse her father, known as Papa Speed, to the fans of the Netflix reality dating show on which the 38-year-old met her husband, Cameron Hamilton, 7 years ago. When it didn't, she went to check on him. He had died overnight. "Oh my God, Dad will never get a chance to see me pregnant," Speed Hamilton recalls telling her mother that day. "I was heartbroken because he couldn't wait to be a granddad." At the time, the Hamiltons, who were in the midst of an in vitro fertilization cycle, weren't certain of their future as parents. The couple, who wed on November 16, 2018, day 38 of the Love is Blind relationship experiment, first began trying to have a baby in January of 2021. After a year of attempting unsuccessfully to conceive, Speed Hamilton talked to her doctor, who referred her to a fertility clinic. It was recommended that this couple try intrauterine insemination, placing Hamilton's concentrated sperm directly into her uterus. Two implementations were unsuccessful. The third resulted in a miscarriage. After being diagnosed with unexplained infertility, the couple proceeded with IVF, which involved fertilizing the egg outside of the body. That treatment was also unsuccessful. 3.5 years into their fertility journey, Speed Hamilton, who had previously been told she had fibroids, yet was advised by white medical professionals that they'd have no bearing on her ability to get pregnant, decided to seek out a black OBGYN, Jackie Walters of the Bravo series Married to Medicine. Walters referred to her as a black fertility specialist with whom Speed Hamilton began another round of IVF. She also had her fibroids removed. Her first implantation following the removal was a success. The pregnancy was both an answered prayer and an early Christmas wish come true for the mother-to-be, who spoke to Essence while 32 weeks along, expecting a boy. "I just remember praying, and this may be selfish, but I was like, 'God, please let me be pregnant so I have a new memory for Christmas next year,'" Speed Hamilton recalls. She also made a bit of a deal with her late father. "When I visited my dad's grave, I told him, 'Look, if you're going to check out of here, it's only fair that you send down your grandchild. I honestly feel like my dad has something to do with it,'" she says of her pregnancy. That was his exchange. She describes the time between her father's death and the conception of her son as grieving with an asterisk. "I like to say that because I had to remember that I'm preparing my body to receive life," she explains. "So as much as I would like to be balled up in a corner, crying for hours a day, I knew what that would do to my body and my nervous system." Speed Hamilton's therapist had also encouraged her to shift her perspective from sadness over the milestones her dad won't be physically present for to gratitude over the ones that he was. "My dad taught me so much, and we had so much fun," she says. "Those are memories that I want to share with my child and recreate those moments with him." Last June was the TV personality's first Father's Day without her dad, and her husband's first as a father-to-be. "Cam was really great in allowing me to feel that grief, not being like, 'Wait, it's my day,'" she recalls. She spent a portion of the day journaling and visited her father's grave for a talk. "One of the things that I miss the most is conversations we had," she says, adding that she often writes her dad letters and that she used to text his number before a service was cut. For her husband's first Father's Day, she celebrated him with a treasure hunt that involved going to an arcade and watching his favorite 80s and 90s movies. allowing him to relive his childhood before stepping into the realities of fatherhood. Their son is due in early October, so she hasn't yet had time to think about what their holiday plans would be, but she's certain she wants to start a Christmas tradition to honor her father. Instead of being like, this is the day that Daddy died, it's like, how can we change this day into a celebration of my dad's life, she says. As she looks ahead to motherhood, Speed Hamilton shares that her son will carry her father's name in some way, and in turn, the family legacy. I'm just excited to watch this little human being grow and hopefully contribute to the world in a beautiful way, she says. I think about my dad and that word, legacy, and watching that continue from him to me and now to my son. I hope he has a little sliver of my dad's personality somewhere in there. All right, permission revoked by Michelle Gee. Why you don't need permission to live boldly. As women, and especially as Black women, we are too often conditioned to wait. Wait until we're ready. Wait until someone notices. Wait until a man chooses us. Wait until our boss finally says, you're next. I know that script because I lived it. For too many years, I sat on my dreams, waiting for someone to hand me the validation I thought I needed. But let me tell you the truth I had to learn the hard way. No one is coming to hand you a permission slip. And even if they did, you don't need it. Permission revoked. My journey. I spent decades climbing corporate ladders, sitting in boardrooms, negotiating contracts, and building brands. I've been the only one in the room more times than I can count. The only Black woman. The only woman. Period. The one expected to shrink herself just enough to be tolerated. And still, I delivered. I grew revenue. I built teams. I turned ideas into movements. But behind the polished titles and the corner offices was a woman still battling doubt, still asking herself, am I enough? Still waiting for someone else to validate what I already knew deep down, that I was born for this. The breakthrough came when I realized that my gifts didn't require permission. My success didn't need a cosign. My destiny wasn't waiting for an approval stamp. The moment I revoked the power I had given others to decide my worth, everything changed. Sis, you already have it. This is what I want to tell you as you read this today. Sis, you don't need validation or permission to start your own business. If God gave you the vision, he's already equipped you with the provision. Stop waiting for a perfect time. It doesn't exist. Ask for that promotion. Your results speak louder than any resume. If they can't see your value, create a path where they have no choice but to do so. Find love. Love isn't about being chosen. It's about knowing you're worthy and showing up fully as yourself. Invest in yourself. Therapy, education, wellness, faith, you are not optional. You are essential. Permission revoked. Accountability is the highest form of self-love. Now here's the part we don't always like to hear. Encouragement without accountability is empty. If you want your best life, you must be willing to hold yourself accountable. That means cutting off distractions, the scrolling, the comparisons, the excuses. It means keeping promises to yourself the way you keep promises to everyone else. If you can show up on time for a job that doesn't feed your soul, you can show up on time for your own dreams. Accountability is love in action. It's saying, I am worth the discipline. I am worth the focus. I am worth the investment. A word from our ancestors. Bell Hooks once said, to be truly visionary, we have to root our imagination in our concrete reality while simultaneously imagining possibilities beyond that reality. That's the balance, isn't it? Seeing clearly where we are, the fatigue, the fear, the distractions, but refusing to let it dictate where we're going, we imagine more and then we act on it. Your new year starts now. Your transformation doesn't have to wait. Your new year starts the moment you decide. It starts the moment you stop asking, am I allowed? And start declaring, I already am. As an executive, mother, a woman of faith, I can tell you this. The titles don't matter. The resumes don't matter. The applause doesn't matter. What matters is the decision to stop handing out permission slips and start writing your own. The call forward. So here's my challenge to you as we close out the year. Write down the dream you've been waiting to start. Identify the distraction that's been stealing your time and cut it off. and make one investment in your health, your mind, your future. Because here's the truth. Your best life isn't a fantasy. It's a decision. And the moment you revoke your permission from fear, doubt, and delay, you'll step into the life you were always meant to live. Final word. Sis, you are already enough. You are already equipped. You are already worthy. Stop waiting for a stamp of approval the world was never meant to give you. Permission revoked. Bring the Runway Home by Dominique Pflücker. Designer Carly Kushny's refined eye defined her fashion label. She's applying that aesthetic to home decor. There's a symbiotic relationship between fashion and the world of interiors, with more fashion creatives curating the high-end decor collections, independently or with popular home brands. Carly Kushny is one of the designers who has successfully made the leap from fashion into this exciting space. The transition feels seamless, she says, as she believes our aesthetic preferences naturally shape our surroundings. Personal style is very connected to interior design, she explains. It's very collaborative. When you're working with a client directly, it's their home, their space, so it becomes about creating something that embodies who they are, while also maintaining your aesthetic and meshing the two. The London-born, Brooklyn-based designer is widely known for the esteemed brand Kushny, beloved for its feminine, glamorous, and cutting-edge pieces. Initially partnered with Michelle Oakes, she opened the fashion house Kushny at Oakes in 2018, dressing the likes of Michelle Obama, Beyoncé, Lupita Nyong'o, Ava DuVernay, Rihanna, and others. In 2018, Oakes departed the company, which continued on as Kushny, until the pandemic hit in 2020. As a result of a revenue dip due to slow sales during that period, Carly Kushny made the difficult decision to close the business that year. But she didn't give up on designing. She released a successful capsule collection with Target in 2020, and she collaborated with the lifestyle retail brand Anthropologie on an assortment of ethereal meets modern wedding dresses. Then she found herself going in a new and seemingly unexpected direction. After completing her first interior design project during the pandemic, she began a collaborative partnership with decor company Lulu in Georgia in 2024, launching an upscale line of luxe furniture items. She also began bringing her interior design expertise to select clients, creating spaces that reflected their unique experiences and tastes. I think it's a wonderful thing, Kushny says. I love to be inspired by a person's cultural heritage or the things they love, like art and books. The style savant had developed an admiration for architecture, home decor, and vintage furniture while attending Parsons School of Design from 2003 to 2007. Similar to fashion, there's just so much to learn from it, she says. It was something that I had been wanting to do for a long time, even while I had my clothing brand. I didn't have the capacity at the time, but this was a natural progression for me. And that's what's special about interior design, is that it's got much more longevity than fashion. I enjoy designing spaces and furniture that stand the test of time and can grow with the person, evolving alongside them. I felt like once I closed my fashion house, I had the space to expand myself creatively. For her line with Lulu in Georgia, Kushny relies on her fashion knowledge to guide her when it comes to designing items. People have shared with me that my furniture collection is reminiscent of my clothing, she states. At first, I couldn't see that, but when I think about it, it makes sense. I wanted the collection to feel inviting. I wanted it to feel like it's almost got a lived-in quality. There's a cozy, warm feeling. The pieces are also refined and elegant, and I feel like there's a little bit of an eclectic quality to them, with some of the detailing such as fringe. We wanted the line to feel like you've collected these items over time. Each piece of furniture has its own little story. Kushny sees similarities between the disciplines. Interior design is almost the same as fashion in how it can bring a space to life, she says. When a collection is finally done and it comes to life, whether that's in the photo shoot or on a runway, it's showcasing all these inspirations that you've pulled together. It's the same with interiors, whether it's different furniture pieces that you found or how you've brought a client's vision to fruition. You're taking a blank canvas and bringing life to it. Because people are going to live their lives in it and make memories in this space. And that is the most special part of it. As she rolls out new furniture items with Lulu in Georgia in September and continues designing chic homes, Kushni encourages us to discover which design elements bring us joy and to hold on to that when creating your own digs. Infuse your home with your style, Kushni says. Whatever you like and want it to be around should be your space. Resume Rundown, Nia Sue, by Danielle Wright. Growing up at the bottom of the pyramid, Sue is turning that disempowering label into a legacy. I grew up being told I wasn't good enough, says Nia Sue. Now, at 24, she's a household name and has learned to transform her pain into power. But she still reflects on what once was. Notably cast as the underdog of the hit Lifetime series Dance Moms, she has emerged as not only a performer, but a creator, singer, philanthropist, and author who is reclaiming the narrative of her life. Her debut memoir, Bottom of the Pyramid, is both a reckoning and a love letter to the girl she used to be. When Sue first joined the reality show at 9 years old, she was bright and ambitious, and she simply loved to dance. Baby Nia was so confident, she says of that time. She had this whole world ahead of her. Unfortunately, on screen, that shine was stripped away. The show's infamous six-person pyramid, put together by teacher and main character Abby Lee Miller, was controversial. For millions of viewers, that starting moment of each episode was the most entertaining part of the show. For Sue, it was devastating and triggering midweek mayhem. Growing up with that is hard, she says. She recounts the numerous missed opportunities, the gigs taken away because of this running narrative, and how it still plays a role in her mental health today. Her new book takes the very words that once defined her and turns them into a statement of resilience. Its title now stands as a symbol of her survival. I realize the only person who can define me is me, she states. Just because you start somewhere doesn't mean that's where you have to end. Sue's path from child star to young woman wasn't an easy one. Behind the camera, she faced challenges that went far beyond choreography. As the only recurring black girl on a show for 7 years, she carried the significant weight of representation. I didn't have the luxury of just being a kid, she reflects. I felt like I had to prove a point, that we weren't inferior, that we deserved to be there. That's a lot of responsibility for a child. The pressures extended to her appearance and issues that arose ranged from costume choices Sue found culturally insensitive to scrutiny of her hairstyles. During season 2 and episode 20, Miller criticized Sue's braids, saying, fix this hair because it's horrible. This was just one of many tough moments the young performer endured throughout the show's run. My mom always told me, you have to be twice as good to be in the room, Sue says. Even as a child, I understood that. Through it all, faith and family became her anchors. When the critiques were too much or the pyramid was too discouraging, Sue leaned on prayer and the unwavering support of her close circle. However, true healing didn't begin for her until the show ended. When you're in it, you're in survival mode, she says. It wasn't until after that I realized the impact it had on me, and I could do the work to heal. Writing the memoir became a part of this process. Sue doesn't shy away from revisiting painful experiences, including complicated relationships with castmates, the toll of public comparison, and her own internalized doubt. Rather than vilifying others, she offers perspective. At the end of the day, we were kids, she says. We made mistakes, and we were guided by adults who didn't make the right choices. That grace is a through line in her journey. While some might expect a bitter blame game, Sue maintains a steady determination to move forward. Her shine, once muted by editing and circumstance, is now even brighter. Little Nia finally gets to have her story told, says Sue. She finally gets to see me speak for her. Though Sue has built a career that spans acting, musical, and digital creation, her memoir represents a turning point. For her, life is not about what she has done, but who she has become. Without hesitation, Sue says her younger self would be proud, as the girl once kept at the bottom has risen. Nia Sue's experience is a reminder to Black girls and women that where you begin does not define how high you will rise. Halle Berry and Van Hunt are engaged. The third time wasn't a charm for actress Halle Berry, but the fourth might be. The actress confirmed that she's engaged to her longtime lover, musician Van Hunt, after almost 6 years of dating. There's some confusion that he asked me to marry him, and I said no, but that's not the case, she explained. For context, back in June 2025, when the actress and artist appeared on the Today Show, Hunt revealed that he proposed to Berry, and it was on hold. People assumed that the actress turned down the proposal for that reason. I did not say no, we just didn't have a date, but of course I said yes, I will marry him, Berry confirmed while showing off her rock and engagement ring. It's understandable that the 59-year-old is taking her time, considering she's been married three times. Her first marriage was to retired MLB player David Justice from 1993 to 1997. Then Eric Benet from 2001 to 2005. And then she gave it a third shot with French actor Olivier Martinez. And they were together from 2013 to 2016 and share a son, Maceo. She also has a daughter, Nala, from her relationship with ex-boyfriend Gabriel Aubrey. During the 2025 interview with Today, Berry explained why she isn't rushing to the altar. Well, I've been married three times. Savannah's been married once, and so no, we don't feel like we have to get married to validate our love in any way. We don't, she says. But I think we will get married just because, out of the people I've been married to, this is the person I should have married, Berry added. And I feel like I should. We should get married, but it's not because we feel like we have to. I think it's something that we would like to do just because we want that expression. The couple confirmed they were dating in September 2020 via social media. They met during COVID and bonded virtually while quarantined. Berry has referred to Hunt as the love of her life and continuously gushes about how well he treats her. Seeing as Valentine's Day just passed, we'll leave you with a quote Berry shared around this time in 2021. To all the Valentines who may be struggling to get it right, I feel you, but never give up and never settle for less than what makes your heart sing, she wrote. No matter what they say or what they call you, no matter how many times you try, it's always worth it. If you desire love, you will find your match, your equal, your person, even if it takes until you're 54. Congratulations to our Catwoman, and we hope this is truly a love for the ages. We have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Tyra Banks, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.